Welcome to Copyright Clearance Center's podcast series. I'm Christopher Keneally for Beyond the Book. It's Friday, August 3rd, 2018. Our weekly guest on the show is Andrew Albanese, Publishers Weekly senior writer, who joins me today from New York. Welcome back, Andrew.
Hey there, Chris.
So August is downtime for the publishing industry, Andrew, and we wish everyone listening a very relaxing summer's vacation indeed. For our industry coverage this week, though, we have two other seasons to discuss, and let's start with the past spring. The AAP has released numbers for the first 4 months of 2018 book sales, and a week ago you reported that 2017 sales for the book business were fairly decent. So how are things shaping up for this year?
Yeah, that's right. And so far, so good for publishers in 2018. 2018 book publishing revenue has actually increased, according to AAP, 5.5% over 2017. And that is for the period from January to April. And these, as I said, are according to the Statshop program from the Association of American Publishers. There's also a report this week from BookScan on the first half of 2018 that suggests that unit sales are flat. But we'll go with the AAP numbers for right now that revenue is up. Now, in the trade segment, which is the segment that we're talking about mostly here, sales of adult fiction and nonfiction for the first 4 months of 2018 are up 7.3%. Children's and young adult is up 6.6%, and sales for religious presses have also really jumped. They're up almost 10% in the same period. And to continue on a theme that we've been hitting for some time now, the strongest performing trade format, downloadable audio. Sales are up 36.1% for the first 4 months of 2018. So that hockey stick growth that we've been seeing for, going over 2 years now, you know, you'd expect that to sort of level off at some point for audio. But no, not yet. The digital audio market continues to grow, and that's great news for publishers who see that as a revenue stream that really doesn't compete directly with their main revenue driver, which, of course, is print books. Oh, and while we're talking about print, it's a good time now to point out that in the same report, ebook sales for the major publishers continue to decline. They're down almost 4% for the first 4 months of 2018.
And on your website this week, PW reviews the big books of 2018 so far. As we might expect, the Trump effect is in full force there, with books from James Comey and Michael Wolff leading the list. Anything else notable from the first few months of 2018?
Yeah, so that's exactly right. Some of the big bestsellers are driven this year by Trump, basically. And those numbers, those titles are boosting publishers' bottom lines. But what's been noticeable to me is that adult fiction continues to sort of limp along, even posting a small decline. And I think we can expect both those trends to continue for the next little stretch here, that's fiction not doing terribly well, sort of limping along, and Trump books continuing to do very well. Also worth noting is that the number one overall best-selling book last week on the PW list was from a Fox News contributor, Jeanine Pirro, whose book Liars, Leakers, and Liberals, The Case Against the Anti-Trump Conspiracy, outsold every other title in the market. And I don't understand. Maybe that's just, apparently there's a conspiracy afoot in the government that involves the GOP deviously controlling all three branches of government. Maybe conspiracies are just hot. Jeanine Pirro, I know, is a huge personality on Fox. But the point I'd make here is that Trump books from both the right and the left, both sides, whether you love them or hate them, are doing very well for publishers. And another curious thing I'd point out is that obviously the Michael Wolff book, it really boosted sales in the first quarter of this year. That's a million copy seller in print. But I wonder what effect they may have had on ebook sales, because as our listeners will recall, that book was out of stock when the publicity was really hitting in the month of January this year. And many of the people who wanted to read it actually went online and bought ebook editions. So we don't know exactly what the effect of that was on ebook sales, because Amazon doesn't share all their numbers here. And Amazon, of course, is the big dog when it comes to ebooks. But I have to believe that it made a difference. Another thing I'd point out, too, is that for publishers, the Trump effect is really double-edged. In fact, there are many edges to it. So far, the industry is really benefiting from sales of Trump-related books, as we noted. But at the same time, Trump's actual policies are beginning to settle in, and they're beginning to have an effect, too. For example, in terms of trade and tariffs, for example, we're beginning to see an effect on the supply side. Printing, for example, a lot of which is now done overseas, there's issues there. And there's an article on the PW site this week about paper costs, with this trade tariff fight with Canada, which are also on the rise, and the supply is actually being diminished. And there's also free speech and freedom to publish issues, all that stuff that comes up as well, and the copyright stuff too, which I expect we'll be hearing more about in the near future as a couple of court cases come back into the headlines. So far, the Trump administration has been a mixed bag for publishers. It's really boosted industry bottom lines in terms of best-selling books. But the question is, I think, whether Trump economic policies, which have delivered something of a sugar rush, I think, in the short term here, may start to diminish those returns, at least start to diminish at some point. Oh, and here's another marker for you. CNBC reported this week that Barnes & Noble's sales of books related to anxiety are up 25% over the previous year. So you can read into that what you will. Perhaps we are an anxious nation, but then again, a chunk of those sales probably went to Barnes & Noble shareholders.
When copyright clearance centers beyond the book returns, Andrew Albanese has word on a forthcoming young adult title that booksellers are itching to get in their stores. I'm Christopher Keneally with Copyright Clearance Centers Beyond the Book.
Publishers Weekly Radio has the very best in book talk directly from New York City, the heart of the book publishing world.
I'm Mark Rotella, senior editor at Publishers Weekly.
And I'm Rose Fox. I'm a senior reviews editor at Publishers Weekly.
Join us every Friday for a full hour of exciting author interviews, best-selling books, and expert reports on the nuts and bolts of publishing.
Every week, we make sure that you have the inside story of your favorite story. Take a listen at publishersweekly.com/pwradio.
I'm Christopher Keneally for Copyright Clearance Centers Beyond the Book. It's Friday, August 3rd, 2018. Andrew Albanese of Publishers Weekly joins me, as he does each week, with news and insights on the world of publishing and reading. Before the book, Andrew, you reported on book sales for the year so far and what's helping drive them up or down. As fall starts to loom, sorry all those vacationers listening out there, you contributed to PW an article this week that runs down some of the most anticipated books of the coming season. Fall, of course, is the publishing industry's busiest time leading into the holidays. The industry is just one hit away from growth almost all the time. Do you see any possible big hits out there? A Harry Potter or Girl on the Train, perhaps?
Yeah, it's funny you should ask, because this week we learned that there is a superhero coming to the rescue. Scholastic this week announced a worldwide launch for Dave Pilkey's latest installment in his kids' book series, Dog Man. It was big news last year when the publisher announced a 1 million copy first printing for the last Pilkey Dog Man book. Heck, it's big time anytime you see a publisher announce a 1 million copy print run, right? But this year, the publisher has announced a first printing of 3 million copies. Dave Pilkey's Lord of the Fleas will publish simultaneously in the US and Canada and the UK, New Zealand, and Australia, all on August 28th. And I personally know a certain 8-year-old girl who cannot wait. In fact, both my kids are really huge Dave Pilkey fans. And thanks to some connections here in the children's department at PW, last year they even got signed whoopee cushions from the author. Pilkey is, of course, also the author of the legendary Captain Underpants books as well. He's going on tour. And, well, this is a book that could really pump up the industry's bottom line and booksellers' bottom lines, absolutely.
So, yeah, Dog Man to the rescue for booksellers. But how about the rest of us? How about the post-adolescent readers? Anything we can expect to make an impact in adult nonfiction? In June, you reported from New Orleans, for example, on Michelle Obama's upcoming memoir.
You know, it's an incredibly strong season this fall. Absolutely. The books are great. And I'm going to refer you to an article on the Publishers Weekly site now on the most anticipated books of the fall. And it's a fantastic list that includes a lot of great fiction and poetry and nonfiction and mysteries, you name it. It's all represented there. And, you know, I won't go down the whole list here, but I can't resist pointing out a few that I have a little bit of experience with. In the adult fiction part, I have to mention Unsheltered by Barbara Kingsolver, which is due in October, I believe, from HarperCollins. And I have to offer something of a personal endorsement only because my wife just finished this book. She had an advanced reading copy that was sent to her. She finished it last week. She's still raving about it. She thought it was the best book she's read in a couple of years now. She reads all the best fiction, too. So, rave reviews from my family on the new Barbara Kingsolver book. My personal recommendation, not having read it, but having heard her talk about it, would be Michelle Obama, because I just think that book is going to be a huge bestseller. The former First Lady's memoir is going to focus, you know, somewhat on her life growing up on Chicago's South Side, but mostly, you know, from what I gathered from her talk at ALA in New Orleans about her work juggling. You know, she was an executive and raising a family, and then, of course, she became the First Lady. So it's a book about juggling your priorities, about women having it all, and it's a book whose message, I think, is really right on top culturally. So I expect that to be an enormous bestseller. Though, I have to point out, I think in terms of its pub date, which is November, I think that date suggests what is going to be the publisher's greatest challenge this fall, despite a strong, strong lineup of new works coming out.
Okay, so with that clue, November, let me guess. The midterm elections.
Indeed. You know, as we saw in 2016, the election coverage and all the campaigns, you know, it got to be suffocating to anyone trying to get a message out about anything else. And that was a presidential election. Maybe the midterms are going to be a little bit different, but I don't think these midterms, are going to be a pretty big deal this year, too. So books in October of this year, especially, I think they're going to have a tough go. And how and whether publishers can break through that combination in an election year of, you know, news fatigue on the one hand and the hyper-focus on politics on the other, that's going to go a long way, I think, to determining how the year is going to shake out for the publishing industry numbers at large. But thank goodness we have a book. We have a real American hero waiting in the wings to save the publishers this year. Dogman.
So Dave Pilkey may rescue publishers, but for heroics at Beyond the Book, we have PW's Andrew Albanese, who joins us every Friday with the latest publishing news. Thanks for speaking with me, Andrew.
My pleasure, as always.
Apps, blogs, and websites proliferate by the thousands today, making the work of discerning credible sources from fake news ever harder. Fake news propaganda and plain old lies, out this summer for Roman and Littlefield, is a timely guide for professionals and just plain folks who want to sort fact from fiction. Author Donald Barclay reminds us to consider the source, yet perils lie there too.
When we hear something from someone we know, a family member, a friend, a colleague, we tend to believe it. And that's one of the things that happened with the fake news phenomenon on Facebook. People were picking up stuff that was created by governments or political parties or corporations. They're posting it and saying, hey, I believe this is true. And then their friends and family, oh, well, if Uncle John believes this is true, of course, you know, I'm going to believe it too. Uncle John is a good guy. He bought me nice birthday presents when I was growing up.
Fake news, propaganda, and plain old lies. Next on Beyond the Book. Beyond the Book is produced by Copyright Clearance Center, a global leader in content management, discovery, and document delivery solutions. Through its relationships with those who use and create content, CCC and its subsidiaries RightsDirect and Ixis drive market-based solutions that accelerate knowledge, power publishing, and advance copyright. Beyond the Book co-producer and recording engineer is Jeremy Briskey of Burst Marketing. I'm Christopher Keneally. Join us again soon on Beyond the Book.